Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. Today I am joined by Word Up favorite Robert Phoenix. I had Robert Phoenix on specifically because I was so inspired by his most recent Matrix mash that he recorded with Emily Moyer. And he mentioned the new Zoom interface and this kind of coordinated tech switcheroo overhaul. And because I am one to talk rather frequently these days about the social engineering coming through these tech platforms, I was really excited to hear Robert mention it, and I wanted to have him on to talk about it. Before we got into that part of our conversation, we did dive into Mike Johnson, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump. I love Robert's, you know, multidimensional, well-rounded understanding of global politics and history. So I always learn so much when I have him on. This show was no exception. Before we dive into it, I am reminding you to click that subscribe button, to like, to share, to comment. And now buckle up and prepare to enjoy my conversation with Robert Phoenix.
There she is.
There he is. How's it going, my friend?
Good. How are you?
Good. We got the black background. Is there a message?
Not really.
Okay.
Should I change it up?
No, it looks good. It looks elegant. It's like a bottle of Drakkar Noir, but it smells better.
Damn. That's nice. I like it. Yeah. Well, you've got the black and the white, and I've got the black. I could have wore a white shirt, but
it looks great. You look fantastic. Yeah. You're tonal. You got a monochrome thing happening. Very elegant.
Cool. All right.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, of course.
This was kind of a last minute thing.
Yeah.
I saw your Matrix mash with Emily, which is my favorite of Emily's shows. Like, your guys's chemistry, it's electric. I can watch you guys forever.
People say that, you know, they say that.
Yeah, you play really well together.
Yeah. And I know that she has a lot of really interesting people on there. And there are people that are kind of more in her, you know, kind of multidimensional, you know, kind of portal space world than I am. But there's enough kind of traction between us in those worlds where, you know, we kind of have that little Pisces Vesica thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. And there were so many things in the conversation that I was lit up about. I was super bummed that you guys ended before getting into Mike Johnson, because I have a theory that they're going to take out Kamala to put in Johnson before the election.
I've had that for months now.
You're the only one I know who's talking about the Mike Johnson op. So is that how you're seeing it going with the cackler?
Well, okay. So this was initially based on the old timeline. And the old timeline was Trump Biden, right? And Trump Biden would invariably end up in a decision that an election that nobody likes, right? And I would not, and it wouldn't matter either way, right? Like, Biden was, I think, already talking about disputing the election. Like, he was already talking about it.
Right.
So it didn't matter who was going to win. It was going to go into disputation. Right. And then because of that, whether it would be like synthetic or astroturfed or real or combination of both, you'd have a lot of really angry people like out on the streets.
Yep.
And then there would be more than likely martial law. And then we'd be into a continuity of government situation.
Yep.
And even if Kamala Harris is in the race and running for president, that doesn't mean she's president, right? Because they have to determine who the president will be. Mm-hmm. And in a situation like that, there would be Mike Johnson, because he's next in line. Right now, there are some people who believe that Kamala will wind up being president before the election. Right.
Right.
Sometime in October, like Biden will officially step down. So she will be the president. Her vice president will probably be her running mate, whoever that is.
Right.
But even if she does run and we're in the new timeline, again, you could have a contested election. And who's next in line? It's Mike Johnson. And Mike Johnson was unanimously voted for by the Democrats. Unanimously. Not one Democrat said, we don't like Mike Johnson. Mm-hmm. Wrap your head around that. Right. And the way that he got, the way that he became speaker was very, very odd, because you had Jim Jordan, mm-hmm. who they were running up the flagpole. Jim Jordan was never meant to be Speaker of the House. Jim Jordan and Mike Johnson had been to Israel about 3 months prior to that. So there's pictures of them chumming around with Bibi Netanyahu, and they're at the wall. You know, they're doing all the Israel things.
Right.
They're actually going to Israel to, you know, hatch the plot. Right.
Right. So Jim, to get their marching orders.
Right. So Jim is going to run. He's unpopular, right? And they're going to vote him down. And then there was this other guy from Louisiana. I don't know his name, but his name came up. And he actually posed a bit of a threat to Mike Johnson. And then mysteriously, he drops out, right? It's like, okay, he got the email.
Right. Right?
The text, drop out.
Right.
So now all of a sudden it's just Mike Johnson. Like, who is he? Where did he come from? And he's going to be the unifier, right? He's going to be the unifier of the both sides of the house, right? And he fits the glove. Like, he's given the Democrats everything they wanted.
Yep.
Everything.
Yep.
And then, you know, he you know, gets on his knees hard for Israel.
Yep.
So he's perfect. He's the perfect candidate. And what was really interesting is when they were having all these protests at the colleges, mm-hmm. at the end of spring, like, who did they send to these protests? It was Mike Johnson. Like, Mike Johnson went to Columbia. Mike Johnson was the mouthpiece for the White House to denounce these, you know, these violent, aggressive protests. It wasn't Obama. It wasn't anybody inside of the Biden administration. It wasn't anybody really, you know, could have been Trump. No, it's Mike Johnson. He was the one that was acting presidential. He's also an Aquarian. And so Aquarians are disruptors, as you know, right?
Moi?
Yeah, disruptors. And the thing about Mike Johnson is he shares a little bit with you. He's not an Aries rising, but he has Mars in Aries.
Okay.
And people look at him and say, oh, well, he's just kind of this nerdy, you know, born again, Pentecostal, dispensationalist. He's more than that. Like, Mike Johnson will cut your throat.
Right.
With Mars and Aries. I'm telling you, he'll cut your throat. And, you know, the whole golly gee gosh look is just part of his act, right? So I think he's the guy. He's always been the dark horse. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go back and look at the year 2000, Jupiter has 12-year cycles.
Okay.
So we have an election in 2012. With Jupiter and Gemini. Now, a lot of people are probably not aware of the fact that in 2012, there was a really good chance that Mitt Romney actually beat Barack Obama, and they had the voting machines ready to go.
Right.
And so in 2008, Obama was a slam dunk. They didn't need to do anything. They just had to run John McCain. That no problem. But he was in trouble in 2012.
Right.
And they even put up, you know, a shitty candidate with Mitt Romney. And they still had, and I remember following some of these issues with the voting machines. Places, it's always like Ohio and Pennsylvania, like these Midwest states, Illinois. But if you go back to 2000, Jupiter was also in Gemini. And of course, what happens in 2000? We have a contested election.
Right.
Gore and Bush and the hanging chads.
Yep.
And this year, Jupiter is retrograde. So that means that whatever happens on election night is probably not resolved on election night. Right. And it could take a while. And what's interesting is that Harris has Gemini rising. I think she's around 24 degrees.
Okay.
Gemini rising. So
what's her sun?
She's a Libra.
Okay.
She's at the end of, I think she's around 23 degrees, 24 degrees Libra, fifth house Libra sun.
Libras are usually likable. She's like the exception.
Well, I think she could, if she wanted to be, like if you didn't know who Kamala Harris was,
mm-hmm.
and she showed up at one of your social events,
yep,
she could probably be very charming, right? If you didn't know who she was, it'd be very charming and, you know, laughing and kind of gregarious, right? Like she wormed her way into San Francisco social life.
Didn't she blow her way to San Francisco social life?
Well, kind of. Like Willie Brown was the entree, right?
Yep.
She was over in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was an assistant DA in Oakland.
Okay.
And then Willie Brown gives her these two positions on the board. And then she eventually migrates across the bridge. But she won. And I did a really deep dive on her last year. And she winds up hanging out with the high society set in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So she's on the society pages in the Chronicle. And they would always like, you know, oh, you know, here's Ed Shorenstein and, you know, Doris Duke and all these people. Oh, look, here's Don Johnson. And Don Johnson was part of that world. He married this rich girl who was, you know, part of that world. And so Kamala Harris would show up in these pictures. So she was kind of like a debutante in some ways. So they accepted her because it was probably the right thing to do, right? Like, you know, she was light-skinned but black enough and connected to Willie. And that's where she really made her inroads, was through that world. And of course, Willie Brown is connected to that world. She winds up running for district attorney. Now, by that time, she had been an assistant DA in Terrence Hallinan's office.
Mm-hmm.
And Terrence Hallinan had been a long time San Francisco DA. And so she decides to run against him. And there's this press conference that she holds. And I remember reading this article. It was like, you know, does Kamala Harris have the stuff to take on Terrence Hallinan? And the first thing she said at her press conference was, yes, I plan to run and I plan to use everything at my disposal, including my experience in the DA's office, to fuel my candidacy. Meaning, like, she's going to rat on Terrence Hallinan.
Okay.
Right. She's going to spill the tea. That's what she's saying. So the person who was writing this article was like, whoa, you know, she's kind of cutthroat.
Right.
Like, because they didn't really know. Like, she's, again, arm candy for Willie Brown for a while. She's hanging around these socialites in San Francisco, moves into the DA office, and then she shows her fangs. She did the same thing. And Terrence Hallinan, by the way, was in that room, right? He was part of that press conference because they were interviewing all the candidates.
Yep.
So she did the same thing to Terrence Hallinan that she did to Joe Biden in, I think it was the first debate in 2020 when she called him a racist, right? That's who Kamala Harris is, right? She is nasty.
Yeah.
She's a nasty person. But because, again, if you didn't know her, like she would throw that kind of Libra charm on, right? Because she's also a Gemini rising, which means that she's kind of two-faced, right? Because that's how Geminis operate. Not all Gemini risings are two-faced, but, you know, like last night she went into her code switch in Atlanta and started talking black. I'm like, oh.
Right. It's like Hillary with the hot sauce.
Yeah. Hillary, and I ain't no tired. I ain't begun to fight or whatever the fuck she said, right?
Yeah.
I got hot sauce in my pocket. Did she do that on the Breakfast Club? She did on the Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Kamala's code switching is just what she does, right? She also has moon in Aries. She's born on a full moon.
Okay.
And full moon people are powerful people. Let's make no mistake about that.
Okay.
Right. Right. Because the idea behind a full moon is that it is like your time to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is your lifetime to shine. Like you are out there. You're like, but the danger of a full moon is that like it's all out there. Like it's all out there for everybody to see.
Right.
And the full moon in Aries is I want it and I want it now.
Yep.
Right. It's all about now. Give it to me now. Give it to me now. Give it to me now. And her moon is in the 11th house, which is groups, the internet, organizations.
Tech,
exactly. So the moon is also women. So she plays well with strong, independent women, the Aries moon. They like her.
Except for Tulsi Gabbard.
I loved it. I loved it when Tulsi, that was like a drive-by. It was so good.
It was so good. I want that to be airing on a 24/7 repeat right now.
So good.
Yeah. And so calculated, right? Like with the little time Tulsi had, she's like, I'm going to take out Kamala. I don't care if I win this debate, but
she was done. She was done. Yeah. She was a freaking assassin.
Yeah.
Right. So when you, what's also interesting too, is when you think of the word Aries, you also think of the word Aryan, which is almost always, right? Almost always connected to the word white, right? Like, but, and that's true to some extent, because I would say by and large, white women like her more than black women. Not that there aren't black women that do like her, but real black women theoretically don't like her. Like she doesn't pass the smell test.
Right.
But also the moon is the mother, right? So her mother is Indian.
Right.
And her mother comes from the Brahmin caste. And if you study the history of India, this is where the whole idea of the Aryan group or the Aryan tribe comes into people's awareness, right? They're coming in from the north.
Right.
And they come in and they wind up basically invading India, right? So you could make a case that if you went back deep enough and long enough in her mother's lineage, you would connect in with that whole kind of Aryan bloodline through Kamala. So that really fuels her connection with women,
mm-hmm.
right? She has Saturn on her midheaven in Aquarius, right? Saturn represents old.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so if you look at her political ascent, right? We'll just use three people that we know of. Willie Brown, much older. That's Saturn. Joe Biden, much older. That's Saturn. Mm-hmm. And her current husband, Doug, what's his name? Emhoff or whatever, right? He's older. That's Saturn. So Kamala uses Saturn to get to the top of her chart. And it's right next to the top of her chart. Like it's right
She's
on her.
She's a social climber.
Total social.
She's just a climber in general.
Right. And she uses older men.
Yeah.
That's her thing. She uses older men.
Which is why her, I mean, she's not even there in any legitimate way, but I feel like it's another Tavistock attack on women that they put like the worst representatives of the feminine, be it Hillary or Kamala, in these positions, and then they angle it so that, like, if you don't vote for them, you're not for women. But these women represent, like, the worst of the feminine shadow. These aren't, like, strong, sophisticated, respectable feminine embodiments on any level. They're just, like, trashy. I read Kamala as trashy.
Totally. Kamala is the whore of Babylon.
Yes. Yes.
That's what she is.
100%. I don't think, so the way I'm seeing it, I don't think she'll make it to the election because no one likes her. Like, no, I don't think any of the establishment political movers, shakers, puppeteers like her. She's too much of an idiot. I don't think she's smart enough. Like, Biden has dementia, so he has that piece. She's just an idiot. So I feel like they're going to take her out before the election, make it some racial thing to, like, drum up some sort of, like, race war, and put in Johnson before the election that we may or may not even be having.
Could be. I will disagree with you on one point. I don't think she's an idiot.
Really?
Yeah. I actually think she's very smart, very calculated, and very cagey. This whole thing she's been doing for the last 4 years is an act.
What is the evidence of her intelligence?
Well, I think it, again, it depends on how we define intelligence, right? Is she
intelligent? What makes her,
like,
smart?
Is she intelligent like you? No, she's not intelligent like you, but I've looked at her chart and she has Mercury and Scorpio.
Oh, and I knew it. I was like, where's the Scorpio in this woman's chart?
it's Mercury and Scorpio conjunct her sun. She is, and people at Mercury and Scorpio, they may not be Fulbright scholars, mm-hmm. but they're not dumb and they're very calculated.
Yeah.
And they understand psychology, mm-hmm. right? They understand sort of the depths of the psyche, right? And if you look at that Mercury in her chart, it goes right up to Saturn, which is trining her midheaven. So her Mercury is really built for climbing. And in that regard, I don't think she's an idiot. She's very Machiavellian, very Machiavellian. And you can't be dumb and be Machiavellian, because somewhere along the way, somebody's going to squash you like a bug. But I wouldn't call her an idiot. I wouldn't call her an intellectual by any stretch. Like, there was this one interview that was set up with her and they asked her about inflation. Mm-hmm. Fairly recent.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Her stock strategy is to repeat the problem really slowly in kindergarten language and think that the audience is going to think that she just talked about the solution.
Right. So she's much better when she has a platform mm-hmm. where she can just talk and riff.
Yeah.
Right. So and you could see that she was struggling, right? Like, okay, how do I answer this question? Because her script, her economic script, is about equity. Right. And she could, like, just rattle that off chapter and verse.
Right.
We don't all start in the same place in life, but we all aim to end up in the same place. Right. And she can just, you know, say that shit in her sleep.
Right.
Right. What she couldn't do is she couldn't pivot from the inflation question to the equity platform. Right.
Right.
If she had been able to say, okay, Here's the inflation numbers. If I can somehow sort of crunch them quickly and then convert it into an equity statement, then I've answered the question and I forwarded my platform. So she can't really do that. She can't do that.
No.
But you get her up and get her, you know, give her a platform so she can talk and go off on her little speech and have her little homilies, and she's fine in that regard, but she cannot handle the hard questions, right? She can't do it.
No.
And even when Tulsi Gabbard just nailed her on her, you know, on her relationship with, you know, criminalizing men in the penal system and corporate prison complex, she had no answer for it. Right. She had no answer for it. She, you know, she could try to run out some of her talking points, but she was done. Right. So she's kind of a one trick pony in that regard.
Correct.
But her trick is very good.
Is it?
It is good. It is good if you give her the space, right? Because she could convince the people that are into her that she's a person of substance. That's the trick that she pulls.
Right.
And she does it with kind of emotion and drama and dripping sarcasm and a little code switch, right? She's also a dragon. She's born in the year of the dragon. And dragon people should not be underestimated. It's a very powerful sign in the Chinese zodiac. So there are two things. Like if I were Trump, the thing that you have to do is you have to get her out of the race. Cause I think he's got an issue with Harris. Like, because styles make fights, and I think she's a terrible matchup for him. She could pull a Joe Biden on him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, she blatantly lies without any self-consciousness around it. Like,
absolutely.
Donald Trump doesn't care about the border, says the borders are
exactly
responsible
exactly.
for this mess, about the guy who actually was building a wall. And she right. says it with like all like sociopathic confidence.
She says it with sociopathic conviction.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So I don't think, I just intuitively, I don't think she's a good fit for Trump style wise. Because the media is now all in on Kamala, right? The Democratic controlled media, they're all in on her. So they're just going to repeat all the talking points. Republicans are weird. MAGA's weird. Trump is weird. Vance is weird, right?
Yeah, the new weird thing is so annoying because it's a word that I like. Now they're trying to weaponize it.
Right. And they always, they're the masters. They're the masters of inversion.
Totally. Like,
they are the really weird fucking people.
Right. It's like, listen to anything that comes out of Kamala's mouth. Like, she's the weird one, but okay. This is their new psyop. Weird.
Right.
It's weird. Weird.
Right. So I think that they have, and maybe this is to your point, they have to get her out of the race.
Correct.
And I think there's basically two ways it can be done. One is they have to find something deep and incriminating on her husband. And it has to be either financial or legal, because he's involved in this major global legal law firm, which has ties to Israel, by the way.
So is that prohibitive for them to go after that, given that like all the players are in bed with Israel?
Could be. Yes, could be. But that's a way, like, if you want to ensure, like, a Zio right government versus a Zio left government, that's what you'd have to do.
Right.
The other option would be Harris melting down somewhere along the way, like an epic meltdown, like such
psychologically.
Psychologically, emotionally, anger, right? Like beyond the point where the press could say, well, she's a woman of passion and conviction. No, she's losing her fucking shit. And is this what you want to vote for president?
But it endangers their whole like DEI, we need to put women on top thing. Like, it's a fine line for them.
No, I'm just telling you, if you want her out of the race, that's where it has to go.
Oh, of course. I feel like it's going to be a race thing because that's the only card she has. And what a great opportunity to create another sort of like more racial chaos is to take her out, because I think this whole thing from here on out, it's just going to be a race thing with her. She doesn't have anything else.
And you know, what's really fascinating too, is that, I mean, maybe this is the Gemini rising of Kamala Harris, but she'll make it a race thing. And quite honestly, most of Black America does not like her.
She's not ADOS. She doesn't even represent them.
That's right. So she's going to make it a race thing. And it's the most disingenuous platform that she can stand on. Like when she was elected senator of California, the San Francisco Chronicle said, oh, it's the first American Indian senator ever to be elected. First female American Indian senator ever to be elected in the state of California.
Wow.
Right. That's what the headline was. And she never refuted that. She never said, hey, you know, I'm part Black. My father's Jamaican. Right. And even that is kind of questionable.
Well, that's also the thing with her name, and that must be her Gemini rising. Like, there's all this hullabaloo about saying her name one way or the other makes you racist, but she doesn't say her name in a consistent way ever. I feel like she'll just play whatever hand is being dealt moment to moment, as long as she can manipulate it in her favor, whether it's true, resonant or not.
Yeah, I mean, she's the ultimate sociopath.
Correct.
She's really the ultimate sociopath.
Yeah.
And so on Friday, I did a show on a movie called Children of Men. And have you ever seen it?
I think I have. Who was in it?
Clive Owen and Julianne Moore.
Yes. And they take her out. I must have tapped into you talking about this because I was remembering that scene where they're passing the ping pong ball between their mouths.
Yes. Yeah. Right. So the subtext of that story is this woman who is having the baby is the Black Madonna.
Yes.
Like, she is symbolic of the Black Madonna. And her baby is an allegory for, like, the second coming. Mm-hmm. And it's a woman, right? It's a female, which is interesting in and of itself. So I've been working with this theory that they're practicing this kind of social alchemy between Mary, which is the queen of heaven, mm-hmm. and the Black Madonna, which is the queen of the earth. And so Mary, the queen of heaven, is the triangle that points to the sky. Mm-hmm. And the Black Madonna is the triangle that points downward to the earth. Mm-hmm. So when you put them together, you have the Magan star, which is kind of interesting, right? And key in that movie is the Black Madonna. And Julianne Moore kind of plays Mary, the Queen of Heaven, because she's the one that comes up with the plan. She's mm-hmm. the one that is sort of, you know, orchestrating everything from an idea space. Right. So there is the intersecting triangles. But if you go, and this is a very weird connection, but it's also kind of timely because Jeff Bridges just became a white male for Kamala. But if you go back to The Big Lebowski, mm-hmm. she plays Maude Lebowski. And in right. that movie, there's a dream sequence where she has these Viking horns on her head.
Yep.
And in the dream sequence, that's Freya. She plays Freya. Mm-hmm. And Freya is the queen of heaven. Like, people don't know this, but when the Vikings go to Valhalla, only half of them go to Odin. The mm-hmm. other half go to Freya. So she manages part of heaven. And Inanna is also the queen of heaven. And if you look at a glyph of Inanna, she looks very much like Julianne Moore in The Big Lebowski. And what's also interesting about Children of Men is it was released on December 25th in 2006, which is Christmas, right?
Right.
So there's this whole undertone. So the Black Madonna is and has been a very powerful political symbol that has been tapped into. And you can look at it like through people like Stacey Abrams mm-hmm. or Alana Presley, all these people, for better or worse, Fannie Willis, Ketanji Jackson Brown. These are all kind of versions of this idea of the Black Madonna, right? Which I think is also connected to Gnosticism, but that's a different discussion. Anyway, so they venerate and elevate these women, right? And Kamala Harris is supposed to fall into that bucket, but she doesn't, because she doesn't have children, right?
Right.
And clearly the Black Madonna has a child. If you see statues of the Black Madonna, like in Spain, where she's, you know, venerated, you will see her with a baby, right? So she doesn't fit the model. So what they're doing is they're promoting her as this Black Madonna, but she's really the Whore of Babylon. That's who she is. She's Jezebel. So we're getting a counterfeit version of a mythology.
Do you ever follow Mo Fax?
No. I've heard the name.
He's awesome. I feel like he's about to end his show with Adam Curry, but I feel like you'd be into it. But he has a theory that all this lifting of Black women up for the past few years is a setup to ultimately take them down and blame everything that is going wrong and is about to go wrong to have them take the fall for it. So it's another way that they could play Kamala if they did put her in place, like kind of like people are projecting that if Trump comes in, like they'll, you know, that's when they'll pull the ripcord on the economy and it'll be his fault and he'll have to deal with everything. But it's another use for her, you know, in that paradigm and according to that narrative.
Well, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we're talking about forces that are, you know, behind these various factions, right? So this is just my own personal theory, but I believe the Chinese are behind Kamala Harris and Barack Obama and Joe Biden, right? So they're the China candidate. And I do believe that Russia is behind Donald Trump and sort of the whole kind of Trump universe, right? Even with Tucker Carlson going to Russia and interviewing Putin and interviewing his wizard, right? Yep. Like, so I think that these two superpowers will play out, right? They'll play out somewhere at some point, right? And it doesn't matter if, let's say it's China. Let's say, let's say Harris wins and all of a sudden the whole China thing gets red lit, right? So who's going to go? Well, they're going to get rid of the patriots and, you know, all these other people, right?
Yep.
They'll also get rid of the useful idiots, like, you know, the Hollywood elite and all those other people.
And when you say get rid of, do you mean like cancel? Do you mean put in a FEMA camp? Do you mean murder? Yes.
Yeah, all the above. Oh, all the above. All the above.
Okay.
Right. And then, like, who runs the joint right after that? TBD. If the Russians and Trump theoretically win this thing, then I think the inverse happens. And that, so these are really high stakes, and they won't really come right out and say that Russia won the election or China won the election. But I do believe that there are these forces that are behind both of these groups.
And which country is behind RFK?
Oh God, I don't know. Neverland.
I mean, aside from Israel.
you know, he's a really hard one to figure out. I don't have any real insight into RFK, except, you know, maybe he might represent, I don't know, England, European Union. I don't know. I mean, I could see him kind of falling into sort of that zone. You know, he becomes a very interesting character now in the light of Harris and Trump, because now that 8.5% means something.
Right.
Yeah.
I really want to get into the Zoom stuff, but I want to take advantage of having you here. The Trump assassination, was that real? Was that a real bullet that struck his ear?
You know, it's really hard to determine whether it was a real bullet. Do I think the assassination attempt was real? Yes, I do. I do.
It's so sloppy. Like, it's so low rent on every level. You know, it's like they wanted us to know that it was a setup.
Right. Now, I have heard that there were three shooters involved, and not just one and then the other guy in the tower. But yeah, it was incredibly sloppy. And yeah, I mean, the astrology for Trump at that time was terrible. Like, if there was going to be an assassination attempt, it was going to be like that weekend.
But the way that he evaded it is beyond legendary. I mean, that's like prophetic miracle God stuff.
Right. There's that too. It's really weird. It's like, can both things be equally true?
Right.
And I think they can be. I think they can both be equally true. And we're going to have an investigation, and then there's this guy who's going to do a parallel investigation.
Who's like, the guy?
His name is Corey something. He's a congressman. He used to be a Delta Force person or something like that.
Okay.
So he's going to have this parallel inquiry while Johnson's having his, which is very Gemini, right? Like, so, you know, we've got all this Gemini in the air, so it's very Gemini. But there were some very interesting things that happened when that whole Trump thing went down. And one of the things that I experienced was I felt like we're in a timeline shift now. Like, something fundamentally changed. Whether you believe it or not, like, something fundamentally changed. And I was talking about this with Emily, you know, we talked about it on our show. And I think 2 days after the whole thing, Thomas Massey posted on his Twitter feed, timeline cleanse. And it was about his new dog. And I'm like, well, look at this, right? Look at this. Like, even Massey is, you know, talking about this whole timeline thing. And it was really interesting because for, I don't know, let's go back to Trayvon Martin, mm-hmm. right? From Trayvon Martin until Butler, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. we've been going through this whole racial piece, mm-hmm. which in a lot of ways is kind of connected to the fourth turning, and there was a fourth turning around the Civil War. And it's almost like this weird reenactment of the fourth turning, even though it's nothing like it was then. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's almost like the spirit of the time had returned to the time. And as Trump was going through these legal sort of peregrinations, he began to become much more likable to the black community because he's being persecuted, mm-hmm. right? Getting arrested, all these false charges. And they're like, hell yeah, we know what that's like. We know what that's like, right? And then on that day when he was shot, or this whole event happens, all of a sudden, black America is on Trump's side, right? And I'm like, this is crazy.
Was black America not on Trump's side after he rescinded the crime bill, though?
No.
Okay.
No. That was not, I mean, the people who were in the know kind of got it. Right. But right. And I was watching videos of dudes, you know, with colors, you know, we're talking red.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't fuck with my president. You fuck with my president. You fuck with me. I'm like, holy shit. And it was like, in that moment, Trump just ended the race problem. Like, it was just done. It was just done. It was like, wow. All these people who had had all this immense anger, and some of it, you know, likely fairly justifiable, right? Like, gone. So we're off in this new timeline, and then we have the Biden event. I was like, oh, here we go. Right. And that was a total setup. They brought him out. That was a hit.
It was so obvious. Like, if they'd taken Trump out, Biden might still be in it.
That's right. And then they got to bring out Biden.
Right.
To do this debate. And I was watching Tucker and Mike Lee. And the first part of it's good. It starts to really drag. But one of the things that Tucker talked about was they normally jack him up, you know, with whatever, speed, B12, Adderall, whatever.
Right, there
are some people who suggested they gave him a down shot, which made him slower. And I could see that, right? I could totally see that. And maybe they gave him a little booster at halftime. But that was a hit, right? They knew at that point that they had to take him out. They had 100%. To take Biden out. Yeah. And that was, you know, paving the way and greasing the wheels for Harris. So Trump did change the timeline, right? Now all of a sudden, because I think that with the obstinance of the Biden family and some of the dirt that they may have had on Barack Obama, that they could have rode this thing out.
They
could have rode it out. So now, go ahead.
Oh no, please continue.
So we're in this really weird time now. It's a very strange time. It feels like even the race stuff that Kamala Harris is trying to bring up, it feels really hollow and fake and just has no substance whatsoever, right? And the only people that buy into it are these white people who are consumed by their genocidal guilt.
Right. They're consumed by their own unacknowledged racism. And because they doubt their own virtue, they virtue signal so hardcore to try to convince themselves. But
yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah. I mean, I always see like the people who are railing the loudest against racism, the white people, those are the most racist because they're so attuned to color and those things. Right. But I don't think Hillary's out of the conversation because the stipulation for Assange to get pardoned was that he destroyed everything. And then Emily and I were talking about it and Emily's like, he only agreed to it because he knew that there was more. But I think that's what the CrowdStrike thing was about because they were the ones who were holding onto the DNC servers. So it's like, why all of a sudden, at the same time that they're taking Biden out, is this back end stuff going on to clear the way for Hillary? Why else would they be doing those things now?
I think they have a problem replacing Kamala with Hillary.
I don't think it would be a viable option? No. Who would they replace her with?
So the backstory is that Barack Obama wanted Mark Kelly.
Yep.
From Arizona to be the candidate. And the reason the Obamas didn't come out and endorse Kamala immediately was because they didn't want to. They wanted Mark Kelly to be the candidate. And the Bidens came out as kind of a big fuck you and said, right, we're endorsing Kamala. Right, because they knew that the Obama Pelosi faction the word was, okay, you either drop out or Kamala's going to 25th Amendment you.
So that was like their revenge for the takedown. It was like, fine, then we're going to back Kamala.
That's right.
Got it.
That's right. So another thing that I heard about the CrowdStrike thing, because you know when these things happen, they're accomplishing more than one goal. They're like doing all these like dirty tricks all at once, right?
They're great multitaskers, the fucktards.
Right. Right. So I'd also heard, and again, take it with a grain of salt, but I'd also heard that when all that was down, that it allowed them to move through a channel all this money going to Biden to drop out and not have it show up anywhere on any kind of a like Swift register.
That right? makes sense.
Yeah. The other thing that I heard, and I can't verify this, but Biden was a combination of perhaps the alien original and a lot of effects, and maybe even the odd double or two, right?
We have Daddy Long Legs now, who's like not even a match.
Exactly. So, but apparently there was like this almost like holodeck software.
Okay.
That they were able to use for Biden, and that also went down in the CrowdStrike thing. Now, I can't verify that, but I've heard that.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that means that they couldn't use him anymore.
Right.
Right. That whatever kind of hologram or AI that they would use in lieu of the substitute. You know, I was thinking when Trump was debating Biden, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, why didn't he just stop the debate? Right. And just say he is not fit to debate. And I can tell you what's happening right now. This is premeditated. And they're going to swap him out for Kamala Harris. And this party should be ashamed of what they're doing. Right? Like, I think we're pretty astute. And if we could figure that out, and we probably could have, then why couldn't they have figured that out? And why, I mean, this to me, this is where Trump just gets on his hamster wheel, mm-hmm. right? And he can't get off the hamster wheel because he's got his bag of tricks.
But it also seemed like Trump was trying to play nice. That like Trump, it seemed like he was trying really hard to just behave and just let Biden reveal himself.
I would say for the first half of the debate, that is true. Mm-hmm. And then the second half of the debate, he brought out the hammer.
Yep.
Right. So, but that would have been a really good strategy because that would have called him out. And they would have said, oh, look, now what do we do? He called us out.
Right. Right.
Now we can't really do that because it's too obvious now. So this is a really interesting time. I would not be surprised if there's another assassination attempt on Trump.
Oh, for sure.
Between now and the election.
Did you see Alex Jones going off to Candace about all the ways that, and he was like really definitive about how they're for sure going to take Trump out? That seemed unhinged and crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, Alex Jones, where do we start? You know, where do we start? This is the guy who, if you just watch him every single day, and it's almost every single day, right? He's, you know, he's in the red every day. Mm-hmm. And so how does he get there? Well, he probably has some kind of, you know, pharmaceutical formula that gets him there.
Yeah.
Whether it's Adderall, whether it's Benzedrine, whether it's cocaine, right? This is how he gets up every single day to do a show and goes manic. And then I think he drinks himself to sleep at night. He drinks a lot. And then he starts to cycle all over again. And what are you going to get? You're going to get this, you know, manic behavior.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think he's Bill Hicks. My girlfriend is a dentist and she actually worked for his father for a while. And so she knew Alex Jones as a teenager and he was insane.
That does it for the first half of my conversation with Robert Phoenix. Please join us for the second half where we get into the meat of the matter. And that second half is posted on both my Patreon and Locals communities. Those addresses are dannykatz.locals.com and patreon.com/dannykatz. Both of those communities, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half conversations, post-show throwdowns, bonus content, all the fun things. So do join us over there. I'm also reminding you to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. It's the very best way to ensure that we stay in touch, regardless of what sort of big tech thought policing may or may not be happening. And thank you so much for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. I'll see you over on the Patreon and the locals. Have a rockin' day.